This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It is a new year, and even though the State House and Senate are adjourned until January 11th, it seems like a very good time to talk about what might be bubbling away on the front burner in Lansing this year. And for that, it's my pleasure to turn to Michigan Radio's It's Just Politics team of Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta here with us.
Hi there.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We have so much to talk about. And just to get us all up to speed, give us a little refresher course, because some of us weren't paying a lot of attention at the end of the year. It was the holidays. What were the big bills that got pushed through?
And there was champagne involved.
So what got pushed through?
What happened in Lansing?
There were a lot that the wolf hunting controversy was reignited, and the governor has signed a bill that would allow wolf hunting to take place in the Upper Peninsula should the gray wolf be taken off the federal endangered species lists. We saw a few other things go through veterans' homes.
Energy
was by and far the biggest one. It resets Michigan's energy policy for really the next couple of decades. And you know, one thing that didn't get a lot of attention in this is this was really a moment where Rick Snyder kind of, you know, I mean, he performed. He became the governor that he really wanted to be. That we have a highly technical issue that has a lot of ins and outs, people with different senses of what direction it should take. It's very important to the future of the state, and especially infrastructure, which we will be talking about a lot. And he was able to bring everyone into the room, pull together a majority of votes on a very complicated package that most but not everyone generally agrees is pretty acceptable. Unlike, say, you know, go back to the Rhodes package, which has been kind of universally reviled.
It sort of reminds me of what folks want government to do. Right, that whether or not you like the energy legislation, these energy bills, it's sort of what you hope, right? The Democrats, Republicans come together and go, okay, we're going to take a little of this, we're going to give you a little of that.
It's political horse trade.
What he said at the beginning of his governorship that he would never do.
It's going to work together.
But and so, you know, we really saw Rick Snyder become, I think, the governor that he really wants to be.
When here we want to think about priorities for Rick Snyder as he goes into the home stretch of his time in office. And for that, I mean, my goodness, we can't talk about that without talking about Flint water. I mean, you think about this coming April marks 3 years since that fateful moment when Flint's drinking water was switched from Detroit's to the Flint River. Mm-hmm. And I know you recently spoke with Governor Snyder, Rick, and Flint had to be on the agenda.
It was. And we asked about Flint and what was the impact that Flint had on, everything else. And here's what he had to say.
It probably took time away from potential new initiatives or ideas that I might have promoted that would be new things coming to the state. With respect to our current activities, I've got a great team. And so we've continued to work hard on many fronts, all during the worst part of the crisis.
So, you know, there he was, and you know, there he is even in the face of the Flint water crisis, relentlessly positive. We were still getting it done. And I think, you know, the governor has tried, and Zoe, you can back me up on this, on a few different occasions in 2016 to kind of reset the conversation so it wasn't so exclusively focused on Flint, wouldn't you say?
Well, absolutely. And why wouldn't he? I mean, this was a huge disaster. It was a crisis of sort of epic proportions for the state. And this governor wants to focus on moving forward. This is someone who always says, I don't want to look backwards. I want to look forwards. And it's sort of like, well, that's fine. But you still have a city that can't drink its water.
Yes, indeed.
And, you know, and his, you know, his babies are talent development, infrastructure, you know, wrapping up this bridge project in Detroit. Those are the things that capture his fancy. And going into 2017, we'll see him try to focus more, I think, particularly on infrastructure. But he cannot escape the shadow of Flint. That, you know, one of the things that we talked about in this interview is the fact that, you know, infrastructure is expensive. And we run into a situation where a lot of times, I know this happens a lot in Lansing, right on Michigan Avenue in view of the state capitol. It seems like that road is always being torn up for some reason or another to deal with water or electric or in fact road repairs. And the governor says that this is a problem. And so his inner CPA has emerged again, and he wants to focus on what he's calling asset management.
But think about this. Think about the street or road in front of your home or in front of where you work. and think about as you go by all the time, and is that road torn up or not? And then you have to ask who tore it up and why. And quite often you'll find out they might have been tearing it up to do road repairs. Well, maybe a year later they came up and tore it up to make water and sewer repairs because it's underneath. And then they had new utility lines ruined, new gas lines or electric lines, so that got torn up. And then they wanted to run fiber, so it got torn up again. It's crazy to tear this road up four times over some time period. Let's coordinate all this. Let's do asset management, with the asset being this infrastructure, and how do we manage it so we can tear up the road once, and let's improve all four of those systems, if possible, at the same time, because that's a huge savings. How much money gets tied up in tearing up and repairing, you know, a road or other infrastructure to do other pieces of this? So let's do it once.
I think most people would say amen.
I think you're right. And think about, in particular, the impact of a policy like this on a city like Flint, where every lead water line needs to be replaced. Yeah. And how much money do you have to do that? And how much is going to get burned up doing that that could also be used on other things? You know, I mean, a modern telecommunications link up to every home and business in Flint would be a very important thing, I would think, for a city to have.
We're looking at the new year to come, 2017, and what we might expect as we talk to Michigan Radio's It's Just Politics team of Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta. You know, we stop here, and as we speak, it is 18 days until Donald Trump is sworn into office. And Governor Snyder has admitted Mr. Trump isn't returning his phone calls. And we know he didn't work to help Mr. Trump during the campaign.
No, in fact, he really kind of sat it out, didn't go to any events. While there were other Michiganders who went to quite a few of the rallies, I should say elected officials who went to the rallies and things like that. And Snyder really was a hands-off Republican when it came to that campaign. Although, let's also note, it's not like he was one of only a few. There were Republicans across the country that
but one might think a couple of businessmen who had never held elected office and run and win high office might have something in common.
But let's also not forget the number of times that Donald Trump came into the state of Michigan and said, look at this mess.
Although, you know, Mitt Romney did the exact same thing in 2012.
You know, he did not do it as fervently and forcefully as Donald Trump.
Well, Mitt Romney didn't do anything as fervently or forcefully as Donald Trump.
Most did not. What do you both think President Donald Trump's going to mean for Governor Snyder and for Michigan?
Well, remember that Donald Trump famously made a trip to Flint and said that he was going to fix things there. Mm-hmm. And he went to Detroit and said more or less the same thing. And Donald Trump has said that he wants infrastructure to be a priority of his presidency. So in that respect, their interests, at least in the macro sense,
would seem to align.
We'll see what happens when it gets down to the granular level and just what these projects are going
to
look like.
I really think the biggest issue, and this is not just in Michigan for a Republican governor, but Republican governors of states and obviously Democrats who supported it, but that was Medicaid expansion. And, and here in Michigan, what's called Healthy Michigan. And you've got 600,000 new folks who were able to have health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. And now, of course, as we know, Donald Trump's saying, we want to repeal and replace. Republicans saying we want to repeal and replace. Mm-hmm. And what that will mean for these Michiganders who have, hundreds of thousands of Michiganders who have insurance. And Rick Snyder going, hey, wait a second there, Donald Trump.
It's worked pretty well here.
Well, and he worked very hard to get that adopted. Burned a lot of political capital and...
Absolutely.
And the stakes are high enough that even Republican leaders in Congress have said that the Medicaid overhaul aspect of an Obamacare repeal and replace will not happen quickly because they understand what the effect would be on both the people who are covered and the healthcare providers, that hospitals are really, really concerned about this, that they've now built their business operations around the fact that they don't have to provide as much uncompensated care because of programs like Healthy Michigan. How is Congress going to deal with that? How is the new president going to deal with that?
We're going to have an interesting year. Can't let you go without just a couple of quick thoughts about priorities for the legislature. Mm-hmm. We're seeing new faces.
We've got a new Republican Speaker of the House coming in. Folks talked to him, and he sort of said a couple of the big things that are on his agenda. Teacher pension reform. That is one that came up last year. A really big deal. We will see that. Another one likely, auto no fault.
Local public employees, mm-hmm. you know, along
police
with
and
the
fire.
Teachers.
Yeah.
Yep. Retiree health care changes, and then also it'll be interesting to see if anything happens with FOIA expansion in the new legislative year or not. And we've got another Republican majority in both the state House and Senate, a Republican governor, so they will likely push conservative packages through, as we've seen.
More conservative than if Democrats were in control. But, you know, the Republican coalition is not a monolith. We will see a new freshman class in the State House of Representatives that by and large is going to be more conservative, that's going to be tempered by the experience of the Michigan Senate. And so we'll see how those two things play out come 2017 and 2018 as we head into the campaign for the next governor and the future of the legislature.
Good way to end it. What an exciting year ahead. Our It's Just Politics team of Rick Pluta and Zoe Clark, as always, thanks so much.
Thanks, Cindy.
You betcha.